God's been good to us. I beat you by a year, brother. I'm already 70. It's not so bad after all. But to see Jesus. Turn Bibles, please, to the book of John. John 21. The disciples this particular day, they went back fishing. The Lord had resurrected. They got to see him. But now they had no idea that this day, after they had spent a night fishing, tired, weary, and the worst thing about it, they caught nothing. You might say it's kind of a wasted night. I wonder how many wasted days many of us have had. Oh, not that fishing and not catching anything is wasted because you enjoy it, but you do get tired. And how often have you and I prayed for someone? Someone we love out in sin, it seems like it was only getting worse. Seems like you wasn't doing any good. You'd toil, you'd spent time in prayer, agonizing with God. Maybe not aware that the Lord's watching, caring for you. And as day breaks and the sun starts coming out, you're tired, you're weary. But then Jesus shows up. That's what he's done here this morning. We've come this morning from maybe a weary week, a tired week, a refreshing week. It's springtime, and last Sunday morning we celebrated the Lord's resurrection. And here we are today, a new day, and the Lord's already showed up. Let's read the text together in John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I go fishing." They said to him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast her for, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw afar of coals there, and fish laid upon and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples did ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this portion of Scripture, for every word. You said that every dot and every tittle would be fulfilled. And we realize, Father, that you're soon coming. And you're watching our lives. And you're waiting on the shore. And I pray that when you speak to us, and you ask us this question, which you will ask, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? Lord Jesus, I pray that we will not be able and have to answer no. Help us in these days. We heard great songs of Zion about when the morning comes and on the other side of Jordan. And I know it's going to be a wonderful place. But you have left us for a season down here. And you call us to be fishers of men. Many have perhaps toiled all night. And then perhaps some of us haven't toiled hardly at all. But you're watching and you're waiting. And Lord, you know where the fish are, the souls of men. You direct them to us. And I pray, Father, that we will be able to cast the net of love, the net of rejoice, the net of salvation. And many will be in the fold because of you, not because of us. But help us to do your will and to seek your face in these days. Because it's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. What a wonderful story it is that Jesus cured enough for the disciples. He had told them before he was crucified that I'll meet you in Galilee. And here they were, Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, all in the same. It depends on where you were around the sea. And that particular day, Jesus chose. He didn't have to meet them there. That particular day, he had already promised that he would meet them. And they had no expectation whatsoever that this would be the day. Peter was waiting because he had not commissioned them yet. He had taught them very well. But he said, now, until you be endued with power from on high, you're not going to accomplish anything. So they were waiting. Remember that day he told them to go in the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father? And on the day of Pentecost, he showed up and endued them with power from on the high. Oh, he had taught them well, but he had not given them full commission yet. And so now they were relaxing a little bit, perhaps. Still, they knew he had resurrected. They'd seen him. And they didn't know from whence he was coming or going. Remember, he rose with a body. It was a spiritual body now, and he could just be anywhere he wanted to be. Right now, we know he said, I'm seated at the right seat of the Father. But the Holy Spirit, he promised us and he gave us. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over the congregation this morning, illuminating hearts, dwelling within the hearts of saved individuals. Oh, the Holy Ghost is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think. And now we see these disciples, they had gone back to what they knew how to do well. They enjoyed it. It was their livelihood before Jesus came back. They lived, many of them, on the shores of Galilee, and they would fish. That's what they did for a living, to feed their families. And now they're going back out, and Peter says, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going fishing. And six of them says, we'll go with you. It was a good opportunity, and many of them fished at night, as they did. But this particular night, they had toiled all night long and caught nothing. It wasn't they didn't know how to fish. It wasn't that the fish wasn't in the sea, but Jesus had kept them from catching anything because he wanted to show them that I have control of everything. Let's look at the text together and look perhaps at the five or six different things. First of all, we see the authoritative effect that Peter had, because Jesus had already told Peter, I'm going to use you mightily. We knew, and God knew he was going to use him on the day of Pentecost. He knew he was going to preach that great message. He knew exactly what Peter was going to do. And this day, the disciples listened to his advice. He had some authoritative advice for him. He said, I'm going fishing. And they go back on the lake, on the seashore, and they're fishing. Well, the scripture says that Jesus was there, and he's everywhere. He's overlooking the service this morning. Not only here at Fletcher, but, oh, he's got a place in heaven that he's overlooking every service all the day long, because at different time zones where people are meeting different times. But he is aware of every situation. He's looking within the heart. He knows every one of us. He knows what we've accomplished this week for him. He furthermore knows what he wants that we would accomplish for him next week. But I promise you, nothing's going to happen if he doesn't show up. If he doesn't give the word and he doesn't empower us within yourselves, you can do nothing. And he lets them realize it. And many times he lets us do it. A lot of preachers, no doubt, and people, they study. And within themselves, they know the word of God. And they think after a while, perhaps, I don't need him. I can just do it. Oh, you will do nothing. You may speak elegant words. You may know the scriptures. But still, if he doesn't come to empower, to enlarge, to enthrone our hearts, nothing's going to happen. But thank God when Jesus comes back. The disciples now, they had followed the one that seemingly had the authority. And let's look at just a few of the attributes of the Lord. Not only did he know that they would be there, seven of them, he knows everything about everyone. He's God. He knew the time he would appear to you. Thank you for the testimony, my brother, when you were 8 years old. You've told us before about that birth. You were not supposed to make it, but God knew ahead of time that you would serve him. So he, like he did to a lot of you, he knew that you would serve him. So he protected you, provided for you, and got us to where we are today. And then he knew the day you would get saved. He knew when you would get saved and when I would get saved. He has the attribute that he is the all-knowledgeable and knowing God. And not only does he know everything, but he's able to make everything come to the place and the and provision that he calls it to be. It was he that gave these disciples. They probably thought it was themselves, but they'd already decided a long time ago. Many of them had failed a lot, of course, but when Jesus came and said, will you follow me? It was a lifetime thing for them. They were not just doing it for a day, a week, or a month. They made a promise to him, we will follow you. Now, if you follow him, that means he's leading. And so it was he that led Peter, of course, to assemble the other six together. He wanted to appear to him. It was he that guided their ship that night and made sure that the fish stayed away from the net. Would he do that? Oh, yeah. He does a lot of things in their life to show us who he is, and who we are without him. So the attribute he has, one of them, is not only knowing, but controlling. Controlling the events, controlling the weather, controlling the fish, controlling the birds. He has control. Did not God say, I have given to Jesus, my son, all the dominion, all the power of the whole universe? The lightning that strikes. You say, that's just arbitrary. No, no, no. He's over everything. He's over everything, or he's not over anything. But he's over everything because God gave him that ability, the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ, to arrange this setting because he wants to meet them that morning. He wants them to have caught nothing so they could realize again, we've got to have him. But not only the attributes of the Lord, but how he appeals to us when he appears to us. When he appears to us, every time you pick up the Word of God, it's God speaking to us. And when you're reading the Word of God with a sincere desire to know more about him, he will appear to you and appeal to you and tell you what I want you to do. Yeah, this book is a book that's going to guide you and get you all the way home his direction. Notice again, if you will, in verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was the Lord. I don't know how far they were out to sea. I don't know if he made himself look a little different that night. We know he was capable of doing that. Just a few days earlier, remember, two of the disciples were on the Emmaus Road. And he changed his appearance, and he walked with them, and he talked to them, and they did not recognize who he was. He's able to do that. And many times, the Lord comes around where you are, whether you're fishing or you're working or whatever you're doing. And he speaks to you. And he wants to see what you're up to, of course. And he has many reasons for doing it. Remember that he's God. And he has all the attributes needed to make any event come about. And he allows, arranges many events in their life. And then he shows up to teach us, that we may understand that he's in control. How many times we, like the disciples, at first, do not recognize who he is. Many times we won't admit and we won't come to the knowledge and truth that it's God that has arranged this condition. Even this morning, as we spoke earlier, he has arranged for you, for me to be here. He arranged the songs that were sung. He arranged the message that was preached. He arranges the words that's said and what's happened to you this week and the needs that you have. He's well aware of it. His attributes are that he wants us to know who he is and that we sure do need him. And in this need, he is well able to change all the situations and elements to make sure that we bring meat, fishes, souls. That's what it's all about. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. My destiny is sealed because of the blood. And it's not that I have to work my way to heaven. He's already provided the way. But he has left you and I down here for a period of time to be fishers of men. It's not just when you speak the words to them, but all your life that you've known them, that they have worked with you or talked with you, their acquaintance, and they're lost perhaps, but you are supposed to be a shining light. I'm supposed to be a shining light. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and know that those works aren't yours. They're mine through you, in you, because you can lead them to salvation. And many times we don't recognize him in the process of these things. Situations develop, whether it's on the job or wherever it's at. And somebody, a lost person, may, probably will, speak an unkind word to you. What do? Rather than smiling and realizing who we are and that they need the Lord, we may get in the flesh, probably do. And he's looking, or he's on the shore, all right. And he's observing. And he would cry out, "Have you any meat?" No, lost that one. And if we knew the truth, it was he that sent that individual your way so you could display the love of Jesus in your heart when they acted the way they did, but you drove them away. Oh, but thank God that there's still opportunity, because he not only knows all the attributes, but he makes an appeal. He says, since you haven't caught anything your way, no doubt they cast that net on the left side, on the front side, on the back side, all night long, all up and down the shore. No doubt they went in the deep water, shallow water. They've still caught nothing. And what's our excuse? Well, we must have been doing it our way if we haven't caught any souls for him. Because he did give us a charge of, I'll make you fishers of men. But thank God he makes yet another appearance. He has given us another opportunity. He didn't have to. He could have said, three strikes, you're out. I gave you that opportunity to win that person to the Lord. I gave you another one. I gave you another one. I won't use you anymore. I'll get somebody else. And he could. And perhaps he should. But thank God he gives us another opportunity. He appears to them. He appears and gives an appeal to them and says, your way's not working, but I've got a way. And you cast it on the right side. The water's all around, but Jesus says, you cast it over there. It's not that the fish were over there then necessarily, but he has control of the fishes too. And so he knew full well that he would arrange to get 153 large fish into that net. I don't have time this morning to get to the significance of that, and I don't know it all. But I want to get this morning to the fact that God's given us yet another chance. And that was the title of the message this morning, One More Opportunity. Just one more opportunity that he has given us. He don't have to give us any more, but he did the disciples, and he is us this morning. After the appeal, in verse 6, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. No doubt they could have argued with that. One other time in their experience, he had told them what to do, and they did it, and the net was full. So maybe the last time it broke, but not this time. He's going to let them have the assurance that this time I'm going to do you with power from on high, and I'm going to enable you to go out and fish for men. This was an experience about fish of the sea, but he uses it to show them about fishing for men, as he does you and I. That's what it's all about, winning lost souls to the kingdom of God. The appeal that he gives. And then when they answered that appeal, the Bible says in the last part of verse 6, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I've seen before people, we were on the Sea of Galilee a few times, and sometimes they would stop the boat, and those guys would get up on the helm of the ship, and they would cast nets in. They weren't necessarily fishing. They were trying to show us how in the old time they would fish, and they would cast those nets in. And all the times I've seen them drawing back, I've never saw them catch a fish. Not that the fish wasn't in there, but it's quite a chore apparently to attract. You can imagine, you know, if you were a fish and you saw a big old net coming in, you wouldn't be stupid enough to run right in it, would you? I mean, fish aren't dumb. Fishermen, are they? They're pretty smart. But this time the Bible says, and they were not able, now, immediately. The net goes in and Jesus ushers those fish in there. To let you and I know that any circumstances out there that would prevent you or prevent me from leading someone that Jesus died for to the Lord, he can rearrange the situation well. It just has to... We have to understand that he's the one giving the orders. It won't be our way. It won't be our will. It's his will that none should perish. And he uses us. He's already commissioned us for that. And now if we will do it his way, oh, let's just ask what his way is. Well, it's interesting that he said on the right side. And that's a whole new avenue that we can explore this morning. There is a way that seemeth right to man, but that's the way of death. His way, not our way. His way is through the blood, through the cross, through the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through salvation imparted to you, imparted to me, and he empowers us to preach the word, to live the word, and to be about our Father's business, and to make him Lord of our lives, and to put him first in their lives, and teach men, women, boys, and girls there is no other way except his way. That's the right way. And I promise you, by the authority of God's word, if we will live it and preach it and proclaim it and do as he says do, he will direct all the lost souls into the net of his love for salvation. Everyone he wants. Were there more fish in the sea? Of course there were. But that's the ones that God directed into their net. And God's responsible for all those things. Aren't you proud that he's the one that makes the appeal to lost men? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Well, if that's his job of drawing them, then it's our job of lifting him up. That's our job. How do you lift him up? Through your words, through your life, through your testimony, through your love for him and others. That lifts him up. And he will do the drawing. It's his attribute and his appeal that draws men, women, boys, and girls unto the net of salvation. If we will do it the right way, live a life pleasing before him, he'll fill the nets. What's our job then? Peter goes out there and draws them in. Receiving them, God saves them. Our job now is to minister to their needs. But I want to look farther. Not only have we seen the attributes of God and the appeal of the Lord, but there's something about assurance. They didn't yet know who it was. Maybe they had a hunch. But let's keep reading, because you can know that you know that you know that you're serving a risen Savior. That the things that happen to you are not just accidental, but you can know that he is there and that he is doing the directing. Let's keep reading in verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, saith to Peter, that would be John. John's doing the writing. John's not going to put himself up on a pedestal and elevate himself. No, his job is to elevate Jesus. But he's writing about himself. He doesn't call his name, but this is John. John is saying, it is the Lord. Who else could do it? You fished all night, you caught nothing. And he says, throw it on the right side. And immediately he drives all those. It's the Lord. By his works, by his word, by his authority, by his appeal, by his attributes, it is the Lord and no one else. Giving him due reverence and praise and honor, and no flesh got a glory in his sight, that's what he said. But recognizing and having that assurance. John didn't say, I believe it may be the Lord. It is the Lord. A knowledge that you know, you've passed from death into life. Why? John wrote us that in the book of the Gospels of John, the epistles of John. I write to you, little children, that you may know you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. John has assurance. Peter is ashamed. Why is he ashamed? The way he's dressed. The way the Lord has made an appeal unto them, and now he's going to make an appearance. they were going to be and died to the seashore. And John says, it's the Lord. I'm ready to meet him. And Peter says, but wait a minute, I'm not in any condition that he should see me like I am. Oh, but he already does. You see, it's how we dress. It's very important. The world dresses in nudity and seeing how naked they can get. Worse all the time. But you're not going to win any people to the Lord in the gospel of salvation by you acting like the world. I promise you that. I mean, that's just common sense. And John is assured it's the Lord and I'm ready. And Peter's ashamed. No wonder Peter didn't understand and have the assurance it was the Lord first. Not out there fishing naked among other men, much less if women would have been around. But now the Lord's around. I can't let him see me like this. So he gets his fishing coat and girds him around, trying to cover up. Well, he should, but he should have had it on to start with. Which reminds us that if you're going to win the lost, you have to have an appearance. Wouldn't I look something up here this morning, a pair of shorts, or if I ever come in like that, you ought to first throw me out and then leave yourself. God help us. We have to be ready for the appearance. It's so important. Did you ever realize and think how important it was that God stressed when the priest, he had to have to ride a tar? If he was going to go in the presence of God, he had to be dressed right. And God told him how to dress. If he had went any other way, it's respect for the office and the authority God has given. Respect in the house of God and respect in the God of the house. If you're going to do business with him, if it's a social setting, so be it. But it's not. This is a house of God. Our bodies are tabernacle of the Lord. Not just on Sunday morning, but all week long. Where we go, we are display. Our bodies to be holy and acceptable unto him. Verse 8, we have to hurry. We're looking at the assurance of John. Now that he has assurance and he's told him there's no mistake about it. It's the Lord. And they're listening to that. Hey, when you live a life pleasing before him and you can testify that you know it's God in your life that's done all these things for you, and they see it and they say, well, he's pretty sure about that, isn't he? Then they'll follow. Look what happens now. As soon as he assured them that I have the assurance that it's the Lord, Peter's already getting right. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Ah, but look what's going to happen now. The Lord's going to appear to them. He's made an appeal to them. He showed them his attributes once again, but now an appearance. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a far off coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. An abundant supply. Not only had he done all these things for him, but now he supplies everything. Did you realize the clothes you have on and the food you have in your pantry and the water you have to drink and the fresh air and the health that you have all comes from him? Yeah. All good and perfect is. So we ought to be so thankful to him for how he's blessed us, for how he has supplied, and he is supplying, and he will supply all our needs. What were their needs this morning? Not only did they need to learn how to catch fish so they could realize that he is sending them out to catch lost souls by following his way, but now they have a hunger need. Of course they're hungry. And God wants to supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. An abundant life. Not there won't be hard times, and not that there won't be troubles and sorrows. And there will be failures on our part. God will see to it and allow it to show us that we can't do it our way. And the more failures and mistakes we make, the more we realize it's not him that's directing our life in that aspect, it's us. Because he wants us to have the abundant life and supplying our needs. Why doesn't he do it? Well, it's up to you. It's up to me. By recognizing who he is. By having the assurance, as John did, that it's the Lord and he's in control of my life. He's in control of the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the flight of all men. It's him that's in control and I'm under his control. Therefore, I want to be obedient to him. And so the disciples now have an invitation. Jesus said in verse 10, bring of the fish which you have now caught. See, Jesus is already out there with the coals afar. And he could have arranged to have the fish already caught. He's God. He can do anything. But he uses you and me in our endeavors. God could have written, you could have looked up this morning, and he could have, he had chose to do, written in the heavens, Jesus saves, I am not dead, I am alive. He chose not to do that. He chose to put it in his word. He chose to put it in your heart and mind, and in your souls, that we can exhibit his risen life in us, the hope of glory, and that's the way he chose to win the lost and for us to catch. And he did right by doing so. And so he illustrates that by saying, okay, I have provided the fish. I provide the way. You acted in my response, and now you have the fish. Bring them. Oh, I love the old song, bring it to Jesus. I love all the songs that elevate him, lift him up, and get our hearts and minds on the things of God. But in closing, not only is the abundant life by him supplying the needs, but look at verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Every individual that God saves will make it to the city of God. Because he said, not one of them. He had already asked the Father, remember, in the garden, said, Father, I pray, and you know God heard his prayers, that all that you give me, none, zero, will be lost, except the son of perdition, which was the devil from the beginning. Judas is carried, of course. But every other soul, illustrated by none will be lost. All that I saved are saved eternally forevermore. And Peter and disciples, this is your chore. You live a life pleasing before me. Have the assurance that I saved you, and I called you, and I'll call others, and I'll give you the ones you're supposed to win. And you live right, and dress right, and do right, and be right, and you'll win them. And all that I give you, God, everyone the Lord's trusted you to win, you're going to win. If you'll live pleasing before him and have assurance that he calls you and have a knowledge that it's him that's directing you. And don't live a life that you'll be ashamed at his appearance. Because in that regard, we're not going to do anything for him. God's got it all figured out. If we could ever figure out how easy it is to serve the Lord, it wasn't hard to throw that net on the right side. It was just listen to him. And then verse 12 says, come and dine. He's got it all figured out. Not only is there toiling, not only is there agonizing, not only is there troubled seas and troubled water, but there's blessed times. This morning is one of those times for me, just sitting at this table and enjoying this good word and enjoying the touch yet again of a God that so loved us that he's willing to come abide with us, to teach us, to admonish us, to advise us, to make sure we adhere to the principles of God, and we have assurance that he's in control, and we are his people, and to bow. And lastly, we just come and dine. The table is prepared. Miss Tiffany, would you come please and sing a song of invitation God puts on your heart? Would you stand this morning? Are you ready for his appearing? Do we recognize who he is? Who we are? And we're supposed to be meat for the master's use. Whatever your needs are this morning. Have we been listening to his advice, or we've been doing it our way and catching nothing? And if you're here this morning, you're lost. It's your morning. It's your time of opportunity to come follow his feet. Say, Lord, save me. The only way you're going to get to heaven is following his feet, admitting you're a sinner. Christ came to save sinners. Would you bow your head in reverence? She's singing this beautiful song.